turned and pushed his way through curtains at the back of his stall, and Lannery and Tree had to climb over the tables to follow. He led them across the busy square toward a doorway in one corner. At first she thought he was taking them down into one of his opulent rooms again, but then she heard the sounds of revelry and smelled spilled drink and spiced food. When Max Hagen entered the tavern, only a few inquisitive eyes turned their way. Most lingered more on Lannery than the water seller, and she kept the hood of her robe raised. She could never shake the feeling that her Jedi heritage was easy to see.
"In the corner, round table," Max Hagen said. "I'll bring drinks."
"We're not thirsty," Lannery said.
"But I am."
He shoved his way toward the bar, and Lannery scanned the tavern. It was filled with workers, their jobs sometimes apparent, sometimes not. All manner of people, species, creeds. None appeared to be armed. She glanced at Tree, pleased that he'd concealed his blaster well. By the time she'd examined the corner booth to make sure it appeared safe, Max Hagen was with them again. He must have had his bodyguards. But Lannery was slightly disturbed that she could not make them out in the crowd.
"Did you find him?"
she asked.
"Your brother? Yes."
He took a huge drink from an opaque glass.
"Where is he?
Still on Nox?"
"No,"
Max Hagen said. Lannery's spirits slumped, but she kept her eyes on Max Hagen. Inside, he was laughing, playing with her.
"He's not on Nox. He's aside from it. In a place that in diplomatic terms is not here at all."
"Explain," she said.
"You're young for a ranger, aren't you?"
He sat back on the bench and relaxed, resting his hands on his ample stomach. It was the fact that he made his smile touch his eyes that troubled Lannery the most. "Not particularly. And what has my age got to do with anything?"
"Young Jedi often don't know as much as older Jedi. They're not told as much. Secrets have a way of being passed down. I should know. I deal in secrets."
Lannery drank, taking the opportunity to look around the noisy, smoky tavern. She didn't like Max Hagen using the word Jedi so much, but no one seemed to be listening. Her force senses alert, the irony that both men she sat with were shielded from her was obvious.
"Your brother is visiting a place that still sometimes carries out commissions for your people. It's called Pan Deep. It's in the base of the central tower, in its roots, its oldest foundations. Close enough to the surface to benefit from Greenwood Station's life support systems and infrastructure, but deep enough to survive when the Jedi bombed us during the war. Closed off enough to be somewhere else."
"I've never heard of..." Lannery began.
"Of course not. It's a secret. But don't you wonder why Greenwood Station only suffered a flesh wound? The domes around were reduced to nothing. The people fried or crushed or blasted. But here..."
He raised a hand as if indicating the ruptured dome, repaired now, where a Jedi attack had scooped out a small portion of the city. "So how do I get there? What does this place do?" she asked, but she already knew. Dale was having his device built there. A sense of urgency took her, and she calmed her excitement.
"High-end tech stuff," Max Hagen said. "Very high. Military. Sometimes beyond. Really advanced science that I can't even be bothered to try to understand."
He smoothed a hand back over his bald head and passed his ear, smiling softly.
"I've used the place myself on occasion. I have an interest in it, and even more of an interest in those who would use it."
"He's there now?" Lannery asked. "With his stargazers?"
"He landed 2 days ago, and his ship is still in the spaceport outside the city. But I don't know how many people landed with him."
"Tell us how to get into Pan Deep," Lannery said.
"You're that desperate to speak with your brother, Lannery? And Tree, you're that eager to help?"
"Yes and yes,"
Tree said, answering for both of them. Max Hagen glanced aside, and for the first time, Lannery saw movement across the tavern that sparked her senses. Two human men, short but strong, and neither seemed to be paying their drinks any attention. They stared down at the table where they sat, concentrating, listening, the glint of metal in their ears. Lannery leaned across the table, pleased to see Max Hagen pull back.
"You know who and what I am," she said. "You might mock my youth, but you're an older man who's survived all these years doing what you do. That's because you're wise. You court safety. So you'll know not to mess with a Jedi, Max Hagen. We've paid you for information which is gratefully received. So now we'll be on our way."
Max Hagen's smile remained on his lips, but faded from his eyes.
"Are you threatening me?"
"Yes."
With the three of them frozen that way, Lannery ranged her senses out across the tavern. The two men, staring at the table. A Wookiee at the bar. A Zabrak just outside the door. A triple-barreled blaster concealed in her backpack but within easy reach. Three Nogri laughing uproariously in another corner. Blades tied to their legs. Claws equipped with artificial poison sacks. All Max Hagen's people. All watching her. If things went wrong, it would be a bloodbath. And Lannery did not have time to be killing.
"Nice doing business with you," Max Hagen said, grinning.
He pushed a small memory pod across the table, holding out his hand, palm up. Lannery swept up the pod, and against all her instincts, she shook his hand.
"Good luck."
"I don't rely on luck," Lannery said.
She left the tavern without looking back, sensing Tree behind her all the way. Eyes followed them out. They passed the Zabrak waiting outside, and Lannery nodded at her.
"He could have told us more," Tree said as they walked back across the square. "You're not expecting there to be much on that pod, are you?"
"There was plenty he wasn't telling us," Lannery said. "But the place will be easy to find. Trust me." As she walked, making sure they weren't followed, she slipped the pod into her wrist computer and accessed the Peacemaker's main computer. She instructed it to read the pod, carefully and with full protective protocol in case Max Hagen had tried to pass on a parasite, and search for construction plans of Greenwood Station. "Come on, no time to waste." She imagined her parents' faces were she to tell them that Dale was still alive, and she remembered their expressions the one time she had gone home since becoming a ranger, as if they had lost her as well. Lannery could not breathe a word of this to her mother and father until it was over. And even then, she would only